Hallelujah. Come on, somebody just put your hands together and just worship God one more time for his goodness. Let us look to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I have studied, God, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, may my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen. I want to thank God for our musicians, God, and we thank God for all of our staff. We thank, I want to give a special thanks from our friends all the way from Austin, Texas. Stubbs Famous Barbecue there in the house tonight and this morning. Give them a great big hand for being here. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for the reading of the scripture found in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I just want to read over it for repetition's sake. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by what? Faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." I want to focus on that first verse. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be ye not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, your declaration of independence." Turn to the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message. Say, "Neighbor, your declaration of independence." You know, I love the 4th of July. My wife and I, we had a wonderful opportunity yesterday to be with her family, and they had a wonderful cookout. I mean, I ate probably about 5 slabs of steak. I had about 8 barbecue spare ribs, 2 hot sausages, a hot dog, and some other stuff too. So I got a couple extra pounds this morning, probably why I felt like throwing my weight around a little bit this morning. But I ate so much food, and I love 4th of July. I love the grill, and I like the real grill. I mean, I got a gas grill at the house, but I really like when the coals are on the barbecue. And you hear the popping, and then the flame is coming up. I just really, how the ribs, somebody's getting hungry right now, but how the ribs just suckling. And I love barbecue chicken and all those things. But the day really has to deal with the celebration of independence in this country. If you remember 1776, you probably don't remember, but it is. You weren't born then, so you don't remember, but they told you that in 1776, there was this document called the Declaration of Independence. And in this document, it says, "We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And this document was designed to declare the freedom of the bondage from England that was oppressed upon the people. And they had came here and they declared, "We are now a United States and we are free from bondage and oppression." How many know that didn't free them from a bondage and oppression? Now there's another document that happens later on. With Abraham Lincoln. It is called the Emancipation Proclamation. And any African-American that's here today or anybody else ought to know what that document is about. That document is about the freedom from slavery. And if you ever notice is that on Watch Night Service, December 31st, where December 31st really comes from, where as Christians we celebrate the Watch Night. It was the night before that the Emancipation Proclamation was to take place and come into effect, where all slaves would become free, in which they would receive their liberty. How many know that even after Emancipation Proclamation, everybody still ain't free? Now there's another document in 1964. It was the Civil Rights Act, and that act was designed to declare the elimination of separate but equal, and also in 1954 with the Brown versus the Board of Education, a case in the Supreme Court. That court case was designed to set people free. But how many know that none of these documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Brown versus Board of Education of 1954 case, nor the 1964 case, a Civil Rights Act, none of these things have really set anybody free. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That there is only one thing that I know that has set people free, and that is Jesus dying on the cross. Now, in our text in Galatians, there was a challenge that was going on in the church at this time. Is that you had the Jews who had believed in Jesus, and then also you had the Gentiles that were now coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But then the Jews started to tell the Gentiles, you still need to be circumcised. Can you imagine today that if I opened up the altar and says, anybody wants to give their lives to Jesus, come on up. And in the meantime, I got this rock here. Lay it out and shoof. I imagine that the altar call would be very small. That wasn't like an extra joke intended, but it just kind of worked out. But the reality is that the law was being pushed upon people whom the law was not designed for. And a lot of times people are telling you that in order to accept Jesus, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. But Jesus is saying this, come just as you are. He never said that you have to come to church with a tie on. He never said that you couldn't wear shorts in the pulpit, so I decided to do that today. He never said any of these rules. He said, just come to me just as you are. There are three things today that we want to talk about that we have been freed from. First, the thing that we have been freed from is the conditions of the law. The conditions of the law. The law does not dictate to us what we should do and puts us under a bondage. It is a guidance on how we should behave. But a lot of times, people have placed all these other laws and traditions in place in the church where people can no longer come into the church. In Mark, the 7th chapter, the Bible says that that traditions, the things that we practice that have nothing to do with the Word of God, have made the Word of God of none effect. And this is what was happening, is that they said, look, you got to come get circumcised. You got to come get circumcised. But Paul is saying, no. He says, look, stand fast. That means stand strong in the liberty in which Christ has made us free. Well, how did we become free? The Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So how we are made free is by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I know a lot of people make it complicated. And normally I would do this part at the end of the sermon, but how you accept Jesus is simply acknowledging him as Lord and Savior of your life and believing that he died and was buried and was risen again and is coming back. And if you can believe that and submit yourself unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you're saved. There's no trick. There's no map. No magic trip. You don't even have to be baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. And out of our obedience, because we love God, we say, God, we want to go down and we want to declare to the world that Jesus Christ has come into our lives. But that water does not save you. That water can only do one thing. Matter of fact, it's so warm you can even take a bath in it this morning. I felt like jumping in there myself. Feels like a little jacuzzi, but you know something? It doesn't have anything magical. It's a declaration that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
So the first thing that we are freed from is the law. But the second thing it says here, it says that we are not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. Now, the best thing, way I can explain this is that if you ever seen an oxen that are yoked together, they have a hook, and their one head is in one hook and the other head is in another hook. And wherever one oxen goes, guess what? The other oxen's going with it. If one oxen goes to the right, the other one's going to the right. And a lot of times we are yoking ourselves to the bondage of sin. So we have to be freed from the law itself, but we also have to be freed from the bondage of sin. And so what happens is that sin presents itself to you. Has sin presented itself to anybody this week? All right, the rest of y'all lying. Because sin presents itself to everybody. Matter of fact, some of y'all in the last 5 minutes. But sin always presents itself to us. But the determination that you have to make, are you going to be yoked with sin? Where if sin says go right, you go on right. If sin says go left, you go left. I know I went the wrong directions, but you have to understand that sin can no longer be the determining factor of which way you go, what you say, and what you're going to do. And Paul says, listen, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get hooked up with the law. Don't get hooked up with sin. Well, what is the third thing? He's saying, don't be hooked up with guilt. Don't be hooked up with guilt. See, every time that we do something wrong and we step outside of God's will, the devil comes up to you and says, look what you did. Yep, I knew it. You weren't saved. He puts a guilt trip on you. And what we have to get in our minds is that we don't have to be entangled with the yoke of bondage of guilt because of the fact that God's grace is available for us. In Romans, the 5th chapter, the Bible says that by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. Everybody say made. The word made here means to be created. When you were created in the likeness of Adam. Adam was made in the image of God, but you were created in the likeness of Adam. And the reason why is because of Adam's disobedience, death and bondage passed upon all men. Because you were created in the image of Adam, you were born into slavery. Doesn't matter whether white, purple, green, orange, yellow, or any other color. Whatever color you are, you were born in slavery. We were all born slaves. But what happens because of the fact that Christ died on Calvary, the second part of that scripture in Romans 5, it says, by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, Christ Jesus, many were made righteous. Just like you once were created a sinner, when Christ comes into your life, what he does is create you over again, and then you are created righteous. That's why Jeremiah said it like this. He says, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw a potter spinning a wheel, and he saw the clay, the image that he had made was marred. And he smashed it down, and then he molded it back up into what something is beautiful. What God does with you when you accept him as Lord and Savior, he masses you down, and then he makes you back into something beautiful, into the image that he wants you to be. And that's why it says when we accept Jesus, we are conformed to the image of his son. That means you're made back into the likeness of him who created you, who he wanted you to be in the first place, but because of Adam's disobedience, we were put into bondage, but then he set us free through his blood that he shed on Calvary. So there's three things here that we need to stay away from the bondage. First is the bondage of the law itself. The second is the bondage of sin. And the third thing is the bondage of guilt. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, all you have to do is say you're sorry. You know, David and Jonathan helped me with this because of the fact they get in a lot of trouble all the time. Right, David? Say amen. Amen. But David and Jonathan, they get in a lot of trouble. But they know all they have to do is, especially Johnny. Johnny will run up and say, "Dad, I'm sorry." And then one time he wasn't even in trouble. He said he thought he was in trouble. He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "What you sorry for?" He says, "I don't know. I'm just sorry." But the scripture says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And Johnny knows that when he comes to his daddy and says he's sorry, everything is all right. And we have to get to the point we understand that all we need to do is say, "God, I'm sorry." Do we have to go through some punishment sometime? Yes, but God, I'm sorry. The penalty of sin and death has been washed away. You don't have to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I'm going to pray for the person that has a Walkman on right now that's playing real loud. Would that be you? All right. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for allowing us to come and share your word. We thank you, God, for the food that is being prepared, God. But during this time, God, we realize that people don't know Jesus. That they need to declare their independence today. They need to be saved. This morning, if anyone that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I want to do something a little differently today. If you don't know Jesus, just lift your hand up where you are. You want to be saved. That's one. That's two. That's three. That's four. That's five. That's six. That's seven. Is there somebody else that needs Jesus to come into their heart? Now listen, as you're all standing on your feet, those that raised your hands, just come on up here. Come on up here to the altar. Come on, everybody standing. Come on. Those that need to be saved, come on. Today is your day. Today you can declare your declaration of independence. If anybody else wants to be saved, even if you didn't raise your hand, just come on down. Come on, today is your day. God's presence is here, and I know it is, and there's people that need to be changed, and your life needs to be fixed. Come on. Today is your day. You know you're not saved. You're in a condition of slavery because of sin. Not because of what color you are. Not because of your economic condition. You're in slavery because of sin. But today you can be free. Come on down. Today is your day. Jesus paid it all on Calvary just for you. Come on. Today is your day. Maybe you're already saved, but you don't have a place to call your church. You know what? I love this church. You know, I've been to a lot of churches, and I don't know too many pastors that are as crazier than me. I really don't. I'm just a nutcase. I'm a nutcase for the Lord to the point where, you know what, I'll be willing to go to jail for you. You know, in seminary, at Luther Theological Seminary, I just finished a course called Pastoral Care. And it talks about the shepherd. And this is not to acknowledge anything of me, but with the Christ in me. But it talks about the different images that we get of the shepherd. And I believe that Jesus is our good shepherd. But I do believe that he has placed me here as an under-shepherd. And I don't have the glamour that other pastors have. I don't have, you know, the Rolls Royce and all that stuff. But you know what? I have the best thing in the world. I believe in shepherding you
has been the joy of my life. I love my wife, I love my children, but there's something special about this place. And if you want to be part of a great place, I can't speak for any other church, but I know that this is a great place. And if you need a church, come on down. Today is your day. Come on. Come on, come on. I know there's some more people here. Come on.